Hello, and welcome to My Career in Data, a podcast where we discuss with industry leaders and experts how they have built their careers. I'm your host, Shannon Kemp, and today we're talking to Michael Meyer from Snowflake.
With a robust catalog of courses offered on demand and industry-leading live online sessions throughout the year, the Dataversity Training Center is your launchpad for career success. Browse the complete catalog at training.dataversity.net and use code DVTALKS for 20% off your purchase.
Hello and welcome. My name is Shannon Kemp and I'm the Chief Digital Officer at Dataversity, and this is My Career in Data, a Dataversity Talks podcast dedicated to learning from those who have careers in data management, understand how they got there, and to talk with people who can help make those careers a little bit easier. To keep up to date in the latest in data management education, go to dataversity.net/subscribe. Today, we are joined by Michael Meyer, a solutions engineer at Snowflake. And normally, this is where a podcast host would read a short bio of the guest, but in this podcast, your bio is what we're here to talk about. Michael, hello and welcome.
Hi, Shannon. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, I'm so excited to chat with you because I've had the pleasure of working with you over the years and just saw your career transition. So I'm really excited to dig into that. And just to our community out there, this is the first podcast we've had in a while. We had a little break in between. Life happened, work happened, you know. So I'm really excited to kick back into gear with our podcast series to interview you. Really, really, really excited about this. Okay. And so we've been talking about this. I know it's going to be on several people's minds. I've hit you up with this before in the past, but Michael Meyer. So I have to ask, were you bullied as a kid to be, you know, the same name as one of the most famous, you know, villains in horror cinema?
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of funny. As a kid, not so much, but as an adult, it'd be like I would be going to different like hotels for business trips and people would bring that up and stuff. And so actually, it's been about a couple of years ago, I got new neighbors and they're into Halloween big time. And so as they got everything put up, I looked out in their front yard and I found the Michael Myers tombstone and had a knife and everything. And so I told people on Facebook, hey, if you can't find me, look in the neighbor's front yard.
I love it. Well, I'm so glad that you're having fun with it. Well, Michael, you know, clearly it's not, you are not a horror film villain, but you are a very cool person in tech. And so let's talk about your career. So you are a solutions engineer at Snowflake. So tell me, what type of business is Snowflake?
Yeah, so think of Snowflake as the AI and data cloud, you know, so being able to you know, traditionally people might have known Snowflake is just the data warehouse company, but now it's bringing all of your data, being able to execute AI on it and all those different things that people need to do in order to make businesses be successful with data. So that's the new role. And, you know, I'm learning a lot every day. I've only been there for a month, so everything's still pretty new as I'm going.
Oh, I love it. I'm so excited. And so as a solutions engineer, what are you doing?
Yeah, so I get to work with existing customers and really be able to help them with their utilization of the platform and to find, you know, new use cases that can really benefit their businesses. Again, in the spaces we talked about, and whether it's, you know, analytics driven or AI ML driven. And so it's a fun space to be in. I support five different, you know, companies in my local community, which makes it really fun too, to be able to go out and visit a lot of people I know from the data community in Omaha, you know, on a regular basis.
Oh, very, very nice. So in your job, how do you work with data?
Yeah, that's a good point. Currently, you know, it's a lot for me right now really my thing is about learning things and building and showing the kind of the art of the possible with data. So whether it's something like, just to give you a couple examples recently, and which I'm very excited about, is like working with, you know, taking NLP, natural language processing, and turning into SQL through what we call Cortex Analyst at Snowflake. So that's been very fun to see. That's a passion project. We'll probably get more into that as we talk today. But and then the other things, you know, just, you know, on a daily basis, I'm a big analytics fan, so I'm looking at things like how are my customers doing, being able to kind of see some of the analytics about them. And so I guess that's sometimes the data nerd in some of us. It's like the littlest things get us excited in the morning to go see how things are going. But those are just a couple examples of what I've been working on lately with data.
Oh, I can so relate. Dashboards are one of the first things I look at.
Yes.
So, well, tell me about this passion program. Let's just dive into that. You mentioned your this, so tell me about it.
Yeah, so it, back in, I would say, as at I was working at a financial company, and back almost 10 years ago, and when we really were trying to investigate what does self-service really mean, people throw that out there all the time. And so it was when things started, the ThoughtSpots of the world and other things, other companies like Q&A was the feature called in Power BI to be able to do, the natural language stuff. And so as I was still being that BI engineer that was, developing, warehouses and dashboards and things like that, I'm like, there's got to be a better way because most companies still are just only scratching the surface of who can utilize this data. It's like there's a whole huge, community of people that don't get any benefits out of it that could really help them on their daily jobs. And so I kept saying the future is we're going to be able to sit there and just type in or talk, ask questions of your data, and it'll come back and it'll, give you the answer and you can think about it and then you can ask more and be so really being conversational with data. And with Gen AI, I think we're finally there. And I think it's to me it's just amazing. It's going to unlock so many potentials of so many people that were basically fearful of data because they didn't know how to write queries or do things like that.
Yeah, can understand. I know how it's affecting people. Just generally, my sister, who is not technical, she's a brilliant surgeon, but she's not technical, tells me all the time how she loves how much AI has improved her life, how her searches have been are so fun and easy to and answered easily.
Yes.
So it makes total sense, if as you dive deeper into the layers, how it can be so helpful.
Yeah, and a lot of things, even if you're somebody that uses data on a regular basis, there's, and you let's say you have a warehouse or your reports or dashboards, there are still always questions that you will have and you want to take it further. And I have a pretty good friend at the financial company when I left and that was in kind of the finance in a finance role and said, if I could just answer these 10 questions each day, I would be, and it's like, that was, again, I think there's so many of us out there that that's the thing. I just need to know this. Why can't I just ask that question? So.
I have several like that still. Okay, so let's back it up a little bit. Let's talk about how you got to your new role. So Michael, tell me, when you were young, say 6 years old, was this the dream? Like, did you think to yourself, I want to grow up and be a solutions engineer? What was the dream when you were young?
Yeah, and it's kind of fun. I can still remember it. It was like going on it was a school trip, grade school trip, and it was to a news station in Omaha. And I got to meet the weatherman. I thought it was the coolest thing ever because he had this new thing called radar that you could actually see when storms and stuff were coming in and when it was going to rain and things. I'm like, oh, that I was hooked. I'm like, that has got to be the thing that I want to do. So that was my first thing of ever, wanting to be something. It was a weatherman.
Nice. Oh, I love that. So as you got older and going through high school where did your interest start to shift? I mean, it sounds like you're interested in technology, then straight from the get-go. I mean, seemed like what fascinated you for Weatherman.
Yeah, and at the time it was till my junior year in high school, we finally started getting computers in and started being able to have some really basic programming classes, which was kind of fun. And I remember doing some things, and then I was like, I was working one day in for a trigonometry class, and I figured out how to write a program that was helping me answer some of my questions for my homework. And I'm like, oh, this is really cool. So that kind of sparked the whole thing of, I think I'm gonna, I wanted to be a writer, but I couldn't find, I felt that I couldn't make money at it. I was worried about that part of it. So I said, you like technology, let's give that a try. And so I went to basically a 1 year school to learn how to do programming. And then I got started right away into a medical software company at the age of 19, programming him.
Wow. So, where do you go from there?
So when I was there, the one thing that was really good, that really got, I was always interested in the data and how the application worked, but it wasn't until we hired, he was a retired doctor, and he came into the office, and his goal was to show the clinics and stuff how to be able to really use data to get better at their marketing. And he was doing, I mean, everything was absolutely manual and drawing charts and doing things and collecting data. And he would take out like this huge portfolio to show them what they were doing. But I'm like, wow, this is really cool. And I can actually, I can start to automate, pull some of the data the way that you want it. And so I think that was the moment I said, from my career perspective, that it has to be involved with data, that has to be part of it. I can't just like work on like creating HTML pages or, web pages. It's got to be more from the data side. And so that kind of carried forward as I kind of worked through some other software companies for a while, and worked on big warehousing projects and things like that in the 90s. And really, yeah, every opportunity to learn anything, it's funny, think about all the old ones. I always tell people, yeah, I actually had SQL Server from a copy on my desk, the diskette, from when they broke off the first version from Sybase. And people, I'm like, what? Microsoft came from Sybase? It's like, yeah. And so, just all those old stories is, as they come forward. And so, yeah, so that really got me interested and started. And so over the careers, I've worked at, now I'm on my fifth different software company, but I also worked at a lot of different industries too. And it was always the focus for me was is how can we make it better for, people to use the data, whether it's easier access, whether it's faster access, or things like that. And seeing the technology changes over the years, it's been kind of wild. I remember working with one company, and it was somebody we had just acquired. And at the time, they really didn't call them data scientists, but that's what they were doing, and I thought this was really cool. I got to go to a room, and I was like, oh, with all these smart people that they're talking stuff way, but I have no idea. But I can help you get the data ready and prepare it. And so that was really enlightening. And at that time, it was that they were working with ESPN actually, and working to help them with doing these different models and stuff. But at that time, they were using like R, and so the data was going back from the server to the other server. And you can just imagine how slow, things would be. And then all of a sudden, the next thing was the NetTIZA was the so it ends up being the next solution, because now all of a sudden you have the processing and data, on the one platform, and you go from running a training run that's taking 20 hours down to 2 minutes. You're going like, this is yeah, these are life changing moments. So it's really interesting to see how we've evolved. And a lot of those things and a lot of those ideas then is really how we got to me, to where we are today with the cloud. And I mean, I as somebody going back 30 years ago, I could have never imagined we'd have what we have today, with the elasticity of the cloud and all the things that you can do in the cloud.
I know, it's amazing, right?
Yeah. It's like, why would I ever want to have to worry about having my own hardware and buying my own disks and having a disaster recovery center for all the backups? And yeah, for sure.
Right? I remember the first time I put something in the cloud, and it was very exciting.
You point to somebody and point up to the cloud and say, my data's up there, and it's.
Oh my goodness. So, tell me a little bit about the transitions between jobs. You mentioned you worked for several tech companies and some other ones, and but your focus has always been, the data management of it. And you mentioned you were into data warehousing. What prompted the change between jobs? Like, where, why, what motivated you to transition? Was it to your own personal growth? Was it just something looking for a new opportunity?
Yeah, and so I kind of step back. So two jobs before I was at the financial company, and where I was doing all kinds of different roles from, BI engineer to data architect. And that's where I was able to bring Snowflake on for them to start using that. And it was very interesting. But I had a manager, and she was just awesome about her perspective on all the aspects of data. So data governance got my first, taste of that. I'm like, how important it is, and privacy, and just all the things that we were working on as a team. And so it really got me going. And then also data catalog was an important part too with the governance. So I really and started to enjoy that too, as that aspect of it, because there's a lot, in order to make and help, companies become data literate. And so with a financial company, I kind of like, we're doing pretty good for one place. I'm like, how do I get out to work with, multiple companies instead of just one? And it happened to be at the time that Alation was looking for a product manager and a technical product manager. And so I had been using the product for 4 years, knew it really well, and knew a lot of the people. And so it was, for me, it was a chance to take all the things I've learned over technologies for over, 30 plus years, and then take that passion for writing that I had as, and I still have ever since from high school, and kind of combine them together. And so, I really enjoyed that. And again, it was the more of the aspect of how can I help others with wherever they're at in their data journey. And so that's kind of how that came about. And then with Snowflake, it was just it's the same kind of thing. It's like being able to work, with companies just to see what they're doing, and see the, and being able to, whatever I can do to help, it's just, if I can help somebody have a better day. I remember a long time ago, I was helping a person, it was at one company where they were spending so much time after hours because their systems just didn't allow them. They were managing a accounting package over 150 different business units, and they couldn't easily copy configs for between. And it was taking that person 25 hours per week at the nighttime to do that. And then once I put the system in place, that gave them that person back 25 hours a week that they didn't have to do that any longer. And so, so it's the little things that really, to me, that's the things that make me happy and feel like I have some kind of purpose in life, is being able to help others with data.
Visit dataversity.net and expand your knowledge with thousands of articles and blogs written by industry experts, plus free live and on-demand webinars covering the complete data management spectrum. While you're there, subscribe to the weekly newsletter so you'll never miss a beat.
You're very self-taught. So how have you kept up in technology? I mean, you already mentioned it, you can't believe, what cloud infrastructure can do now. How have you kept up with educating yourself and learning the technology as you've grown through your career?
Yeah, a lot of it starts the way my day starts. I looked to spend my first 10, 15 minutes looking through different, articles, different newsletters from different tech, publications and stuff to kind of keep up on stuff. And then my wife always laughs at me. She goes, "You never read except tech books." And I'm like, well, and I don't read them at home as often. That's usually when I'm flying or traveling. And so that's kind of the other way, but it's a lot of that daily learning, and then just really sitting there and seeing how can I apply this? How would this actually be used and be beneficial? And so, I think that's been the biggest part. Yeah. It's, I've had some friends over the years that had the itch to go back to school and get their master's and beyond. I'm like, yeah, I'm still never gotten that itch, that big of an itch to do that. I'd rather kind of do the self-learning thing.
Yeah. Well, it certainly has served you well. So tell me then, what has been your biggest lesson so far in your career?
I think the biggest lesson started out because I was really nervous with that first job. Mm-hmm. And I had a really good boss, and he basically said, when you're working on stuff, he says, don't worry if you make a mistake, you're learning. And as long as you learn from it and carry forward. And, I think that's been, because under high pressure situations, over the years and different things, that can definitely come up. And it's been understanding and working with really good people that had that same philosophy. We're accountable, but you can't beat yourself up about a mistake. And so I think that's kind of been the life lesson that started me to let me be not so fearful in my job. And I think especially when you're young, your first job, you are a little bit that way, but that was really set the stage to kind of remove that barrier.
Oh, I've heard that before in this podcast interview, and I've mentioned it so many times. Like, I wish I had learned that so much earlier in my career. It would have made things so much easier.
I think the thing that we all probably always talk about too, it's always we reflect about the great people that we've got to work with over the years. So many good people, and being able to do that. I think that's really have cherished all the different places I've worked, and it's not necessarily because of the company or what the company was doing necessarily. It was more about the people.
Yeah, absolutely. So, tell me, having worked with data for your whole career, what is your definition of data?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. So to me, still the definition of data is really any of the things that come from, it can come from any system, it can come from any place. It can be a PDF with information. And as we well know today, the greatest source of information we're trying to unlock to get that data is coming from unstructured things such as, old invoices, or they're even printed out, all those various things and videos and stuff. So I think that's really changed is the notion of what data is, because like when I first started, everybody just thought data was what you needed to run applications and to take orders and to medical, to set up an appointment, to set up your appointment, and now it's just so much more. It's about how all the things that we do to unlock and turn it into information that people can really make good decisions on. And so, yeah, that's kind of the way I kind of still look at it, is from that perspective.
It's a good one. And so, Michael, tell me then, do you see the importance of data management and the number of jobs working with data increasing or decreasing over the next 10 years, and why?
Yeah, that's another good one. I think as we continue to evolve all of the different things we do in technology, I think things shift. I don't think things get eliminated, right? And so I think for those that are that like to learn and continue to try new things, I think it's going to continue to be a great time. Was just talking with somebody. It was interesting. They were talking through some of the things that like today that some of their analysts do, and they're just talking about, well, if we can get AI doing this now, actually that frees them up to a bunch of the bigger type projects that we've always never been able to quite be able to tackle, because we're trying to take care of everybody else, all the employees first, and making sure that their questions and all their stuff are answered. And so I think it just has I think a huge potential. And I think the other thing is I think it's just going to be able to find, there's going to be so many different new jobs, but they'll still be focusing, on all the traditional ones. I think if you are somebody that still wants to get into data, you do need to learn the basics. It's almost like that basic, if it's football, tackling and blocking, right? You need to know those basics in order for it still to make sense for you to be able to have a good career in it.
What would you consider to be the basics for data management?
Yeah, I think some of the basics start with just understanding what is, like what is data modeling. I think that's been a thing that's been a lot of people. It's an art, or it's a thing that's kind of sometimes is kind of pushed aside, but it's still such an important means. I remember working at once. Well, they didn't call them software as a service. We technically were back in the day in the late 90s, but we were a software provider, service provider, and. I was working with a group, and we came up with a data model back then that was for basically the whole notion was opt in, opt out of stuff. But then we just worked together with a really good product manager. I said, we can take this just slightly a little bit different twist, and we can actually also provide preferences, like user preferences, all in one thing. And it was very cool to see that come to life, because the model really unlocked the possibilities. But I think that's still a thing that people need to know, whether it's just from an application that you're trying to build databases, or from reporting and things like that. If you're an engineer that's trying to surface data out through warehouse or other analytic means, you still need to be able to have those fundamentals of how to model that data.
Yeah, absolutely. We have seen an uptick in our, even our just fundamental, you know, data modeling 101, the difference between, you know, physical, logical, you know, it just uptick in that, because so many people suddenly are like, oh my gosh, I just got thrown into this job. I need to create a data model. What is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially with AI coming into play, companies are really realizing that they need a data model. They need some kind of, you know, structure and architecture and data management to go into making those AI tools successful.
Yeah, absolutely. People need to really understand, be able to trust that data in order for it to be used through AI. So that is 100% a big thing nowadays, you know? And so, yeah, I remember it was a few years ago, I had looked through and I had an old data modeling class book that we did a curriculum with. And I brought it out and I started taking through a few pages with somebody. And I'm like, this still applies today. And that was from the, you know, early 90s, and it still applies today. So yeah, I think that's just a core thing, and sometimes gets overlooked.
Agreed. So then what advice, additional advice would you give to people looking to get into a career aside from just, you know, making sure you have the basics?
Yeah, I would say, you know, spend some time kind of understanding what things that you really like to do. I mean, are you more of somebody that likes to dig in, analyze, and again, that person that really wants to question and find out those patterns and unlock things through patterns of data? Or are you the one that really likes to be able to build things for other? I mean, there are just so many different opportunities and so many different places that you can work with data. As we talked about some of the other data management principles, I mean, governance is still such a huge thing. And being able to say, you know, I'm putting, you know, things out there to help the rest of the organization be safe with its use of data and making sure that everybody does the things that they need to do. So coming out of the world of my first couple of jobs, I would have never thought that there could be so many different roles. And, you know, as we said too, now AI is just expanding it too, as to what these combined roles can be for people.
Absolutely. And like you say, it's so fun. Like there's so many different ways to play with data, and it is so fun.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, Michael, it's been such a pleasure to chat with you today. And I'd be remiss if people wanted to find out more about Snowflake, where would they go?
Oh, definitely, you know, snowflake.com for sure. But I would say, and when I learned Snowflake and when I really got, we have the Snowflake University just has so many things that you can pick up quickly and kind of get you to where you go. And then the other thing that I always tell people, if you have a data for breakfast event coming to your city, go attend those if you're curious whatsoever, because those are the best events in which you really get to learn a lot about, you know, how did the company come about, you know, the things that they were wanting to solve and the things they've been able to do, you know, over the last 12 years. And so those are really good events if you find those anywhere.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, any networking opportunity and places to learn for sure. Oh, well, Michael, it has been such a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you for taking the time to sit down with me today.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. And it was great to catch up and to get to talk. It's been a while. So thanks, Shannon.
I know. Oh, thank you again. And to all of our listeners out there, if you'd like to keep up to date in the latest podcasts and the latest in data management education, you may go to dataversity.net/subscribe. Until next time, stay curious, everyone. Thank you for listening to Dataversity Talks, a podcast brought to you by Dataversity. Subscribe to our newsletter for podcast updates and information about our free educational webinars at dataversity.net/subscribe.